It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Justin, how do you feel about the season as a whole? I know it's a big picture, open-ended question, but you guys came in with a lot of goals, a lot of hopes. Mm-hmm. So you're 5-9. Mm-hmm. The offense has had a lot of rough patches. What do you make of this season?
I mean, yeah. Biggest, takeaway so far in the season is just I'm just proud of everybody in the locker room, proud of the coaches, and just, the mentality that we have, the culture that we've set, and just the fight that we have as a total team. So, of course, there's many games we want back, many plays we want back. But all in all, everybody's giving their best. Everybody's giving their all, and really that's all you can ask for. So, I'm just proud of everybody. But, it's like I said, we got to be better in situations. And, of course, this one didn't go our way today, so got to bounce back next week.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. Taking your phone calls. Thoughts on the Bears game. A lot of people talking about Justin Fields, but a lot of people are calling for Luke Getsy to be fired. When you're looking at this game, and the defense played well. Justin Fields, 40 attempts, most passing attempts this season. You had to, because the run game for sure wasn't working. It was a Justin Fields game, right? Some flashes of brilliance, some moments of disaster, and a loss. It's just, I'm used to this now. I'm used to this happening. But it was a really good defense. Let's not take that away from the Cleveland Browns. But some of the play calling, man, up 17-7, you should feel good about that. I mean, one of those touchdowns came from an interception from Tremaine Edmonds, which was incredible. Then another interception by Eddie Jackson led to the second touchdown, or the first touchdown, actually, for the Bears. Another touchdown for the Bears. Cole Kmet Tutty in the back of the end zone. But, the offense got to muster up some more points than that. And I think a little bit of that is on Justin Fields. But, of course, the play calling, they don't get to walk away scot-free, the offensive coordinator. He doesn't get to walk away scot-free. That we know. But, again, taking your phone calls. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Today on 670 Score, we got some great guests lined up for you. And about 5 o'clock when I get out of here, Dustin Rhodes is going to be taking over with the pregame show. Then after that, Mully and Hall jump on. They got Olin Krutz hanging out at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9. Got Bernstein and Holmes. They got Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 12, then Parkins and Spiegel. They got Kurt Warner, 2:40, Mark Grody, 4 o'clock, and then Jalen Johnson at 5. All right, before we get to some Eberflus audio, let's go through some text messages. People were really upset. The guy that called in to yell at me about Jordan Love called me a coward, or he told my producer I was a coward. I'm assuming that's because he thinks that I don't want to debate him about Jordan Love. I can't imagine why else he'd call me a coward. Sir, this is a Chicago sports radio station. Like, what? We're literally talking about the Bears. Like, this whole day's lined up for the Bears. And you want me to have a 5-minute conversation with you about, and not even with you, because you're just going to call in and tell me why I'm wrong. So you want me to give you the airways for 5 minutes to tell me why Jordan Love is good because he doesn't have a running game? What? No. Sorry. So then he texts in and he says, your vibes suck. Sir, you're too old to be using Vibes. How about that? But a couple other people have been texting in. A47 says Jalen Johnson will never be an all-pro cornerback. He's going to be an all-pro cornerback this year, right? Tyler, am I wrong on that? Tyler Ferringer all producing tonight. Am I right?
I think he's definitely on track to be, for sure.
Without question. I think if you're looking at two of the best guys that are out there, it's most certainly them.
Well, I'll say this too. I think had he not dropped at least a couple more of those interceptions, it wouldn't be this much of a debate.
Right.
He has about 7-8 interceptions, which realistically he should. It's no-brainer. He is an all-pro cornerback this year.
Yeah, without question. But remember, those are also pass deflections and pass breakups, right? And it's a knock on the quarterback's completion percentage to you as a cornerback. So
that's true.
There's still positives that come from like a pass breakup or a dropped interception. Like there's still positives that come from that. So I don't know. Says how come from the 6-3? How come no one's talking about the 4th-and-1 attempt? The 33 and didn't attempt a field goal. I think it was like a 37. It was 37. So what do? You tack 15 yards onto that, something like that? I mean,
18 for field goal.
18? I'm thinking punt. All right. Bad weather. Maybe that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, it was rainy and the wind was like 18 to 20 miles an hour today. You see that whole northeast just absolutely obliterated by the rain and the wind.
Yeah, I was so Cassie Carlson, she's the sports anchor and reporter at Fox 32, and her and I do the Bears Unleashed show together. So I follow her on social media, and she was showing like the tunnel of where the players were coming out of, and it was like a monsoon. So I knew the game was going to be bad. Should have bet the under. That's what I should have did.
I shouldn't have said northeast. Atlantic Coast. Whole Atlantic Coast wiped out by the rain and the wind today.
Yeah. From the 847, somebody said, I turned the game off with 45 seconds left, and I just saw the Hail Mary with no time. Mooney, oh my God, Bears should have won. Yeah, it was unreal. For those of you that are just getting up, I had a 5-leg parlay. I had Joe Flacco over 34 pass attempts. Did that. 4-3 receptions. Did that. Amari Cooper, 55 yards. Did that. Justin Fields and interception. Had that. And the last leg was Justin Fields to throw for 200 yards. So I'm watching the game, and I see the Hail Mary, and I know that the Bears, or that Justin threw it from the 45-yard line, so I'm thinking 166 plus 45 equals $4,000 is what I would have won. Probably one of my bigger bets that I've ever made. It was 175 to win $4,000, 4,200. And Darnell Mooney, I'm looking at the screen in like utter shock that the ball is falling into Darnell Mooney's lap, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to win $4,200. And then he drops the ball, or, you know, he muffs the ball, gets intercepted. And people think that I'm in shock that Darnell Mooney dropped the ball and the Bears lost. And I'm like, no, I'm in shock because I just lost all that money. Oh my gosh. All right. Let's make you feel a little bit better with some Eberflus audio. He had a lot to say, but his demeanor, a little bit more mild-mannered than normal. And usually he's upbeat, pretty even-keeled. This one, you could tell, took a toll on him. Here's Coach Eberflus in the post-game talking to the media.
All right, so injury update. You know, so you guys see that Tevin was in concussion protocol, so we'll have to go through that with him, and hopefully he's going to be okay. I'm obviously disappointed in the loss, you know, for the guys in the locker room. Certainly the battle was on. You know, they certainly were battling. And, you know, I told them what my main message was to them after the game was this, is that, hey, you know, you always fix your mind and fix your focus on the fundamentals and details of your position. You know, and that's what wins football games. And that's been our mantra the whole time. And then we also fix our mind on the plays we're going to make, being playmakers. And at the end of the day, you know, the Cleveland Browns made more plays down the end than we did. And our guys made a lot of them out there today, but certainly that's what happened at the very end. And so get back to work tomorrow. That'll be the focus. And, you know, the guys will have their eyes forward. I know it stings, and it's going to sting, and having this loss is always hard. But just to recap the game, you know, obviously we started the game, you know, with a bunch of punts on both sides, you know, and that was the whole first quarter pretty much. You know, and then we, you know, did a pretty good job there, you know, had a nice interception by Eddie, you know, that set up a good score. Took us, you know, there's a bunch of penalties and a bunch of things that happened down there. You know, Cole jumped off sides, but then he redeemed himself with that touchdown. What a nice catch he had on the side there with Justin scrambling on the third and six. That was really, really a nice play there. And then, you know, we took it to half there. But, you know, I thought the one touchdown they had, we had some missed stops on defense. You know, and my hat's off to them. You know, certainly that's to score a touchdown, you got to make some plays. But, you know, we had some opportunities there to make a couple interceptions. You know, I think TJ may have had one of them, and I think maybe one of them was a really good break by Jalen. Did an awesome job there. We just got to come down with that when it was in traffic. You know, and then they had a big play on us on a scramble. You know, they got into a max protection, and they got into a scramble deal, and then Tyreek's just got to be on top of that. That's a scramble drill, so they got a big play on that one. You know, so we got to do a good job with that. Then at the end of the half, you know, we got it down, you know, to field goal, right outside of field goal range, and that was going into the wind, and that was just too far of a kick for us to make that attempt there. That's how we end up throwing it to the end zone. And we have to do a good job of, you know, obviously protecting our quarterback on that one. You know, there's a couple steps there with the hit. But again, we'll look at that one and on that. So that was the first half. Coming out the second half, obviously the big return, interception return, really nice by, you know, by our guy there, Tremaine. Unbelievable, you know. So tipped, focus, concentration, ticket up the numbers, really good return right there, an excellent job. You know, then we end up answering with a field goal there the next drive. I thought that was a really good drive. Nice job on that. You know, so we end up going up 10, you know, up in the third quarter. You know, and then we got to really do a good job of, you know, in sudden change. You know, we had the muff punt on the one. And we've been working on that during practice, offense and defense, of a sudden change in momentum. And I thought Tyreek made a heck of a play on that. You know, so you're put in a bad position for your defense there, and he made a heck of a play, and what an interception and really good return to dig it out of there too. So I was excited about that too. You know, then we, you know, go to the fourth quarter, and you know, the fourth quarter to me is all about finishing. You know, we got to finish the right way. You know, we end up giving up a big pass on defense, you know, the one where we held him to a field goal, and again I got to make a better call. They had a penalty there. I end up calling a coverage, which you know, I could do a better job with that. You know, I just, you know, cover two would have been a great call there, but again, they got over top of us with the fast receiver, and they got behind us. But my credit off to the guys for doing a great job of holding them there. You know, they did a really good job. Again, that's momentum too, right? How do you handle sudden change there? Did a really nice job with that. And then overall, we just got to do a good job putting drives together, you know, in the fourth quarter on offense, you know. So we got to have some sustained drives there to get in scoring position, and we're always behind. You know, they either TFL or they got us behind. They seem to have a lot of third and longs in the fourth quarter there, so that we have to do a better job there for sure. But at the end of the game, I love the way our guys battled at the end, and what a nice play by T. Scott. You know, to put us in position, and again we were just, you know, too far back for you know, we ended up throwing the Hail Mary at the end, and we had a chance there too. You know, it's about just about focus and concentration at the very end and making a really good play. You know, the guys are disappointed. You can certainly see the fight, and you can certainly see the guys are improving. You know, we're improving as we go, and that was a good football team we played today. You know, there's a lot of good pass rushers. They put some pressure on us. Obviously, an experienced quarterback, and my hat's off to Cleveland for the win. But again, we're disappointed in the loss.
Matt, their final drive at 3rd and 15, and you guys ran a pressure. Can you walk through the thought process on that pressure and then what you saw?
Yeah. So the thought process there is it's 3rd and 15, and you're gonna make them throw it, and you're gonna tackle the catch, you know, and then they're gonna end up punting it, and they'll get half the distance there, just to get the ball out of his hands fast, and he kind of retreated back a little bit, and I got to look at the pressure and see where it was, but he ended up retreating there and throwing it over top, and the tight end made a heck of a run and got it. So you know, that was the whole thought process there.
Wind up with the nearest guy in coverage there being Justin Jones there.
So it's a sim pressure, right? You're simulating there, and he's the one guy dropping back, but you know, typically that pressure is going to hit, and the ball's going to be out quicker than what it was. Like I said, he retreated back a little bit, and so that's what it was. That's what I saw on the field.
Now, what do you identify as the problems in blowing these late leads? This is the third time, at least this season, unless I'm missing one, that you guys have had a significant lead in the fourth quarter and had this happen.
Yeah, like I'll just go back to what I said. You know, it comes down to the fundamentals. When you watch the tape and look at it, it'll be that, and it'll be about playmaking. You know, we got to make the plays down the stretch. And that's what it's always going to be about. You know, we finished, you know, last week. We had good fundamentals, and we finished down the stretch. We made sacks. We made interceptions. You know, we drove the ball, had 4 minutes. You know, we did a good job on all areas and finished the game out the right way. And the NFL is always going to be that. You know, it's got to play to the last second. And again, like I said, I'm proud of our guys. At the last second, we had a chance to win it. And that's much improved. And we're going to cash in on those coming up.
On that subject, Darnell Mooney said in the locker room that he felt like in the third quarter the offensive players were complacent. His word was comfortable. And he was thinking in his head, we cannot be too comfortable with this, especially given the other games that you guys have had that went this way. Did you detect any of that? And how is that possible when you guys have been through what you have this season?
Yeah, comfortable. I don't know how you're comfortable in the middle of a football game, first of all. You know, you got to be
comfortable with the lead.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, so... I would just say, again, can't speak for Mooney, but I would just say our guys were wired in, they were focused, and you know, we were going for the win, and it's unfortunate we didn't get it.
Your offense today had one touchdown drive, and it was 1 yard. Two games ago, you're in Minnesota, you have no touchdown drives, you kick 4 field goals. What's missing from this offense when you play good defense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, those defenses are good, and they apply a lot of pressure. You know, this team was a team that applied pressure through their front four. You know, and they added on some pressure guys, you know, certainly during the course of the game. You know, we saw that. But again, it's about rising up to the challenge. It's about the whole football team rising up to the challenge. You know, sometimes, you know, our defense is going to be playing a really good offense, and we're going to have to rise up, you know, and do a good job there. And they're going to have to, maybe they're not playing such a good defense that day on offense, and we just got to, it's complementary football, right? So, a lot of, you know, each side allocates their money a certain way, right? And you know, and that's where the talent is. So we got to make sure that each side of the ball plays complementary football.
Matt, the jet sweep on 3rd and 1, was that to combat not being able to get much going up through the middle?
Yeah. When you look at that play, you're going to see everybody gap covered in the inside. You know, so we just got to do a good job capturing the edge on that one.
Touchdown, Matt. What was your vantage point on what happened there?
Yeah.
You know, throw kind of in between the triangle.
Yep. Yep. It was, you know, we were playing a zone in that one, and to be honest with you, that play should have been picked. You know, so we got to do a good job of breaking on that, okay, envisioning on that. The ball's in the air long enough, or at least deflect it. But we'll improve our technique and fundamentals on that one, and we'll get after it next time.
You said the day you took this job, you talked about being a defensive-minded coach, but now taking that coach job, you'd be responsible for the offense. What influence did you have on the offensive game plan going into this and on the play calling today?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm not calling the game, but of course I have influence on the game plan, the setup of it, you know, and I thought we did a decent job of handling those pressure players, you know, on the edge, you know, for the most part. You know, I thought we had a good plan at chipping, bringing the guys back to him, and he's a special player, and I thought we did a decent job of that. So just looking at it right now, I just think we need to run the ball to set ourselves up a little bit better in terms of the third downs and manageables. That to me would be my reaction of that, what I saw out there today. And again, they did a good job. They loaded the box and did a good job of stopping the run.
Now, what would Cairo's range have had to be for you to be comfortable going for attempting a field goal at the end of the first half?
I'm not going to go over the exact yards, but we were quite a ways back. You know, there were significant yards that were there that we needed to gain to go for the kick there. And, you know, the win was significant that direction for sure.
You said on TV it was 8. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's probably close to that, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then at the end, was the wind any different?
No, the wind settled down a little bit, but it wasn't enough. You know, I think it was up at 15 when we got the kickoff, and then it was down to 13 at the later part of the game.
What was your target on the final drive in terms of kicking?
What's that?
What was your target on the final drive?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into target lines.
Yeah. Immediately after the muff punt, Tyreek came up with a big interception.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that play and just the way he was able to get in position?
Yeah, it was good. It was really good play, you know, by him. You know, he's overlapping on the backside of that, and he did a really nice job. Just the vision, you know, and he's a playmaker, you know, and he's going to be a heck of a player for us. And because, you know, he's tough, he's got ball skills, and he's big, you know. And so, you know, there's plays out there that he made that were just – unbelievable plays today, and he's got, you know, other stuff to work on too.
Thank you.
All right.
That was Coach Eberflus right there talking to the media after the game. Bears lose to the Cleveland Browns 20-17. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, Plumbers 911. Football Monday, the drive that the majority of the reporters were asking about, of course, that final drive of the first half, Bears get the ball with 59 seconds left from their own 2-yard line. And the drive ensues with Roschon Johnson, a rush to the right for 3-yard gain, and then that's when Cleveland called the timeout because Cleveland thought they were going to get the ball back. Bears, and I remember seeing that play, and I was like, oh, man, not even going to try to, you know, do something. Then that's when Roschon rattles off that 22-yard run to get the Bears to the 27. Now the Bears are thinking, like, okay, Justin Fields passes to Cole Kmet for that 1-yard loss. Then he throws the darts, or then he gets DJ Moore for 20. Bears call timeout. Bears are on the 46 right there. Then Fields passes to Kmet for 6. Another pass to Kmet for 5. Roschon, little dump off for 1. Gets the second timeout. That's when Darnell Mooney gets the 5-yard gain to the 42. And then Darnell Mooney drops that other one. That's the one that Justin Fields was talking about in his press conference. He wishes Mooney would have been able to catch that. And then that leads to the Hail Mary where it's an interception right now, but they might change that in a couple of days. But, I mean, sometimes Flus gets defensive. I'm not going to go over that right now. Why don't you just say it? Yeah, bro, we didn't think it was a good idea. I would have been there for that. But we're taking phone calls too. 312-644-6767. There were a lot of moments during the game, things that altered the course of the game. What was that for you? What was the moment that you knew things were turning and not in the favor of the Chicago Bears? And then what are your thoughts on Justin Fields' play? Even if Darnell Mooney catches that last pass, does that change anything for you and how you feel about Justin Fields? Let's go to Diedrich out in Pilsen. Diedrich, you got some thoughts on Justin Fields?
Well, you know what, man? I agree with you on some of the things about Justin Fields. I have some issues with him and some things I like about Justin Fields.
Okay, tell me the things that you like, because I like some things about Justin Fields too.
The things that I like about Justin Fields is he's athletic. He's very athletic, and he's a playmaker. But the problem that I have with Justin Fields that just drives me up the wall when he gets to holding on to the football too long, and that causes sacks, it causes fumbles, and I just feel like he should not be, as a quarterback, being there for a couple of years. He should be able to get rid of the ball. Throw the ball out of bounds if there's nobody there. Quit holding the ball because it's going to cause problems. That's one of the biggest issues that I have with Justin Fields.
Okay, and what are the things you don't? I mean, obviously, you say you think he holds the ball too long, but you like his athleticism. So, what do you think the Bears should do if they end up with that number one pick?
Well, I feel like that they should trade the pick because if you look at other history, past draft history, a lot of good quarterbacks was picked in the later rounds. And I think somebody is going to drop in the draft is going to be really good. And I think if the Bears trade down, they could get extra pick and they could pick up another quarterback and then just have him sit behind Justin Fields for about a year and then bring him in and then just let Justin Fields go if he don't do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've talked about, you know, and it could just be the optimist in me, right, or not wanting to lose out on a Justin Fields that does become great. But it seems like that's just not what's going to happen. It's either Justin Fields or not. It's not going to be a situation where, you know, Justin, I mean, even though I would like that, I would like to see what that looks like. Justin Fields is the starting quarterback, you know. All the coaches say the same thing. Justin Fields is our starting quarterback. Was that a Trump impersonation? What was that? I don't even know what's going on there. But, you know, I would love something like that. Hey, look, and then have, you know, whoever the rookie quarterback is, say, you know, be on board and say things like, hey, I love having the opportunity to learn behind the guy. You can't assume that you're going to be able to fix everything and make it to the Super Bowl next year, right? But what you can do is set your team up for success over the next decade, shore up the quarterback position, which is what 80% of the league is trying to figure out year in and year out, and you can take care of it for both of those people and then build a team around it. You're still gonna have draft picks. You're still going to have first-round picks. You got all of those. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, taking your phone calls, thoughts on the Bears game. You know, a lot of people are, you know, talking about, you know, who the quarterbacks are that make the Super Bowl, right? And where they fall. Are they all number one picks, right? Oh, Gabe, you keep talking about that. But look at the quarterbacks, okay? So Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, first round pick. Jalen Hurts, not. The year before that, Matthew Stafford, first round pick. Joe Burrow, those are the two in the Super Bowl. Guess what? Number one pick. Like, do I have to go any further? What were you going to say? Oh.
No, just number one pick against number one pick.
That's what I'm saying, though. You don't have to go too far back to find the team with a number one pick that got to the Super Bowl. Like, come on. Before that, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. We know Tom Brady was a millionth round pick. Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he first pick?
He was second round pick.
Second round pick. Okay. Like that? Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jared Goff.
Number one overall.
You see what I'm saying? Where did Matt Ryan... When was Matt Ryan drafted?
I think Matt Ryan was like top 10. He wasn't top 5, but he was like 8, I want to say.
He was
drafted... out of Boston College, I know that.
Third overall.
Oh, I'm sorry.
By the Atlanta Falcons.
They must have traded up because I don't think they originally had that pick.
Let's see.
Or I might be thinking of Michael Vick. I know they traded up for Michael
first
Vick.
First round pick, the draft assigned, $72 million contract. Fourth highest quarterback in the NFL by Peyton. No, yeah. Starting quarterback. Nope. I mean, it doesn't talk about the trade there. But do you see where I'm going with this?
100%.
Do you see the direction that I'm heading? Peyton Manning before that. Cam Newton. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't tell me. Like, people that are like, who was the last? Like, come on. When was Cam Newton number one pick?
Yes, he was.
That's what I'm saying. These are rhetoricals. There is a list of number one picks that have taken their teams to the Super Bowl. Even just looking at the last 10 years, Eli Manning in there, Peyton in there. I mean, come on. You have an opportunity to do that. Not to say that it's going to work. Not to say that there's going to be 100% success rate on that.
Your chances are way higher.
That's what I'm saying. Your chances of getting to the Super Bowl are way higher if you do connect on a number one pick. And you have the opportunity to do that. Not once, but twice. And I can't live in a world where the Bears have the number one pick twice. And all these number one picks are taking their teams to the Super Bowl. And the Bears just pass on the opportunity twice as if, talk about like the level of arrogance that has to exist in a building to think that you as a team, as an organization, can pass on a quarterback 2 years in a row because you're smart enough to put together a Super Bowl caliber team. How has that worked out for you for the last 40 years? It's like you just be doing yourself a disservice.
Do you think the Bears have already made up their mind? Like Ryan Poole's front office, they've made up their mind they want a new quarterback?
I think Kevin Warren, as someone that has been brought in from the outside, is just simply saying, hey guys, we can do better. He's too like Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles, for me, they're not like, yeah, huh, Justin Fields, whew, done with that guy. They're not saying that. But they're being very diplomatic about it.
They're trying to egg on the process.
Yeah, but they're being diplomatic in the way they say it. Hey guys, I love everyone in this building and what we've built so far, but we can do better. We can reach higher. We can get to places that we didn't think we can get. Of course, Hell yeah, they're taking a quarterback with that number one pick. Stop it. And again, all my Justiners out there, all my Justin Fields fans, and I like Justin, 13-17 quarterback, awesome. But right now, I'm looking at this little list of Super Bowl teams and their quarterbacks over the last 10, 12 years, and it's a lot of number one picks in there. And so I think it expedites the process, right? He can be, if you choose correctly, you can have the catalyst that ignites the team to Super Bowl contention. All right, want to take this call? Am I taking this call? Let's take Robert. Robert from Kankakee, you got pushed up to the front.
How's it going?
Chilling, man. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Just right. Working.
Just riding on that 57 out there? I see you.
That's it. You got to move on from Justin Fields. He's, 9-28. Yesterday, the offense kind of you don't move the chains when you have 8-3 and outs. You could talk about a missed field goal. You could talk about drops, Hail Marys. You got to move the chains, and when the time of possession, when the defense gives you extra possessions, you know, the defense gifted them 7 points. They gifted them on the play to commit for the touchdown. They gifted them the other side of the field. I mean, you're just not moving the ball.
Yeah, why do you think what do you think it is about Justin that people love so much and want to continue to stay behind him?
I mean, he's probably the most exciting player to ever wear a Bears uniform besides Devin Hester, maybe. I mean, he if you watch his highlights, people fall in love with the highlights. I mean, for every good highlight, there's probably 6 or 7 bad plays.
Yeah.
Everybody's holding on to the what could be, but, you know, with the way the defense is now, I mean, you bring in Sweat, and you're getting the turnovers, and it's making the secondary better, and we're just not putting up the points.
Yeah, it's like typical of Bears football, where, you know, you have a good defense, and then your quarterback just can't muster up the points that you actually need. But you make a bad – it's tough to say, like, you want to move on from Fields, and I'm like, why do you think people like Fields? Because he's the most electrifying player the Bears have ever seen. I'm like, no, retreat from the argument immediately. All right, I want to take more calls, though. All right, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Justin Fields couldn't put it together again. 10-point lead. But I know what you're saying. It was Lou Getsy. That's whose fault it was. Well, I want to hear from you. Again, 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on 670 The Score.
Tough. It would have been crazy, but definitely tough to, I mean, how many times do you see a Hail Mary working and actually fall into, you know, being able to make a catch? But it's tough. I wish I could have had it, but, I mean, it is what it is.
Is the approach that you throw it up and somebody try and tip it forward, or is that just what happened?
Say it again.
What was that, the plan?
No.
Try and tip it forward, always, or it's just where the ball
is? Yeah, it's always we have somebody that, like, catch it. And it was Cole that, you know, the biggest guy on the field was trying to catch it. And we're just guys just boxing each other out, boxing everybody else out. So you can have just a one-on-one or somebody just catch it. And just ricochet off and try to tip it and try to catch it.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
I'm calling to get the $4,200 drop. That's what would have happened. My bank account would have swelled. Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. 175 would have turned into 4,200 if Darnell Mooney catches that ball. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. I needed 911 earlier. I cramped up in the studio, man. I need some tonic water. That quinine will get you. Get you right if you ever cramp up. Tonic water will get you right out of that space, or a banana for that matter. But a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. Tons of guests I'm going to tell you about before we get to the phone calls. In about an hour and a half, Dustin Rhodes takes over the pregame show. Then Mully and Haw. I have three amazing guests for you. Olin Krutz jumping on at 7, DJ Moore at 8, then Brad Biggs at 9 o'clock, and then Ben Bernstein and Holmes, they come home, take over. They got Anthony Heron at 11, and then Dan Weeder at 12. Parkinson Spiegel after that. They got Kurt Warner at 240. Mark Grody at 4. And then my favorite guest of the day, Jalen Johnson. He jumps on at 5 o'clock. Can't wait to hear him talk his talk with that. So set your alarms, man. Some really heavy hitters today on 670 The Score. Make sure you're here for it. In the meantime, Bears lose to the Cleveland Browns. Sad that their playoff hopes have been, you know, just rug pulled from underneath them. It was a 1 week in the hunt.
I was just about to say they were going to be no longer in the hunt.
In the hunt for 1 week. I was here for it. We were playing clips on the show all week, Tyler, about the scenarios and how they needed to pan out. But
it was a great week of being in the hunt.
And how quickly it goes. But still some games to be played. Still some opinions to be had. And still some phone calls to take. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Steve out in Chicago. Steve, now, Bears going to have themselves some top 10 picks, but how confident are you that Ryan Poles can get the job done?
Hey, Jay, thanks for you. And is that Tyler that took the call?
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm not I'm not confident at all with Poles getting this draft capital if we was to trade picks and all that. I don't think he brought a lot of good people in. His first draft, I think he got 6 picks or something like that and turned them into, 12 or 13? These guys are pretty much bombs.
Hold on. We got time out. Because Kyler Gordon is not a bum. Jaquan Brisker is not a bum. Hold on. Jaquan Brisker is not a bum. And Braxton Jones is starting left tackle, not a bum. I mean, 3 starters on your team, that's pretty decent.
Sir, they are starters because we have nobody else.
Fair. I think that
if they are on a real team, them guys will be backups. And today, sir, we pretty much played a third string O-line. You're telling me Kaz is the only one that can get back there? Okay, Walker made a few appearances, but they should have had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and possibly lunch on these guys.
Remember when
Fields was getting sacked so many times, and we was crying about, oh, the line ain't nothing. Well, that's how Flacco should have been all day. He should, and he threw for almost 400 yards. I think the defense took a step back today. The last 5 games, I think they played subpar talent other than Detroit. And it looked like Detroit just played, you know, to they just played.
Right. I hear you. Down to their competition. Yeah. I hear you. But Steve, here's the thing, right? I mean, you know, we're talking about the defense, and I agree with you, right? I mean, you can't give up 374 to Joe Flacco. But
no.
But when 3 out of your first 4 possessions are 3 and outs, right? And the fourth one wasn't some long drive. That one was 6 plays. But all 4 of those were punts, right? It's like that's a lot of pressure to put on your defense to continue to stop a team and, you know, not allow them. It's like you're getting more possessions, more opportunities. These are still professional football players that are going to get down there eventually. You know, so the defense, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, Montez Sweat, 2.5 sacks. You know, Tremaine Edmonds getting an interception for a touchdown. Eddie Jackson getting an interception. Tyreek Stevenson with the diving interception. I mean, they played well, right? Andrew Billings getting up the middle, stopping some tough 3rd-and-1s. Like, the defense played well. It can't stop them forever. Can't stop a team forever. But, I mean, I think it's a team as a whole. What do you think about the coaches? What do you think about the coaching staff?
Yeah, I'm not. Sold on them either, but I would say, we talk about Getsy, but he did win 2 games with a undrafted quarterback.
Stop it!
I'm just telling you the truth. He won 2 games with an undrafted quarterback.
But against who? Who were those 2 games against? Do you remember?
Well, I did state it that we played subpar teams.
It was against.
We would have a win.
Yeah, wins against Las Vegas and the Carolina Panthers, and that was Las Vegas. with Brian Hoyer. Not even an 8-0 O'Connor.
That's true. And Josh Fields. as far as Fields, I'm out on him. He holds the ball too long. He takes incredibly stupid sacks. And he's not a pure thrower. I thought we should have traded him last season and drafted up a quarterback. I was on Bryce Young. I understand Bryce Young is not doing well, but his team is awful.
Yeah, team is terrible.
But he's a pure thrower, and he gets the ball out of his hand, and he throws on a line.
Yeah. If Carolina can get a couple wide receivers for him, they'll be all right. I mean, and by all right, I mean all right in that conference.
We gave Fields 3 years. We got to give Bryce Young 3 years as well, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, certainly.
Yes.
I think Bryce Young is going to be fine. If you watch his college career, I mean, there's no doubt about, you know, what he's capable of doing. He's two alike, right, where he can put the ball on a laser and get it to you. Two is a drop back and throw the ball kind of a guy. He reads defense as well. I'm talking about Bryce Young, that is. But, I mean, he's throwing the ball to Adam Thielen and Hayden Hurst. I mean, it's not, you know. And Chuba Hubbard is this.
Come on, you're disrespecting Jonathan Mingo like that?
Stop it. He has been coming on as of late.
Jonathan, yeah, he's decent.
He's all right. But again, no real number one. So you feel bad for him out there. Hopefully they can get some talent with a new coach. Let's go back out to the phone lines, though. 312-644-6767. Taking your calls. Bears lose to the Cleveland Browns 2017. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Justin and his performance? I'm curious, you know, I know people are on board with Justin. That's who I really want to talk to. Those that are still 100% in after yesterday's game. And I know they're out there. I'm just curious. I want to talk to you. I just want to hear your thoughts. But first, let's go to Derek. Derek, talk to me.
All right. First thing, when I first got on the radio, I was hearing you talking about all these number one picks that went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
How many number one picks didn't go to the Super Bowl?
Okay.
Cleveland had to have two or three, and they never went to the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford was how long at Detroit, and he had to go to L.A. to get a ring. So coaching makes a difference. Second, if you got a quarterback whose best attribute is running, look what they did in Baltimore. They let him run for 2 years. Now he's passing all over the field. So you don't have a coaching staff that plays to his strength first. That's not that I don't have problems with Justin Fields. He holds the ball too long. It takes him forever to get through his progressions. So I'm not saying they shouldn't pick a quarterback, but I believe your argument that a number one will get to the Super Bowl is flawed.
Is it, though? Derek, I let you talk for 5 minutes, and then I said one word, and then you cut me off again. That can't be the conversation we're going to have here, all right?
So we're not going to have.
Oh, why? Wow. You just did it again. I don't want to cut the phone call off.
No, I understand. All right. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call, Derek, by the way. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. What I'm trying to tell you is that you have a higher probability of getting to the Super Bowl based off what I was just telling you of the quarterbacks that have been to the Super Bowl in the last 10 years and the percentage of those that are number one picks, right? So the probability of you getting there is higher is what I'm saying, right? So can you point to some? I didn't come out here and say with 100% success rate, if you take a quarterback at number one, you're going to the Super Bowl. No. What I said is, damn, I'm looking at these teams and both teams that are in the Super Bowl for the last 10 years, and there are a lot of number one picks on this list. And the Bears have the opportunity 2 years in a row to have the number one pick. And to say, again, arrogantly, I don't need to take a quarterback, which clearly the last decade has taught you that a large percentage of those people that are in the Super Bowl are number one picks, then you should take one. Because your chances are increase. That's all I'm saying. If you're putting up Justin Fields and what you think he's going to do versus going and checking out, kicking the tires on every quarterback as to who you think is the best, that's what you're getting paid for, right? That's why you have your people so that you can pick the best quarterback. And again, the argument that just that all these guys are new and you don't know, it's like, so what? Justin Fields is just better than every college quarterback to ever come out of college for until forever? Like, come on. That's what I'm saying. That the potential for a top five quarterback exists, right? Exists. There are number one quarterbacks that you take that end up being top five quarterbacks. Justin Fields, you're like hanging on a prayer that he becomes a top 10 quarterback. If he gets this offensive coordinator, but the specific one, not the one you bring in that sucks, another one that Justin Fields makes look bad. No, you got to bring in the perfect offensive coordinator. And don't forget, I know we got DJ Moore, and I asked for a wide receiver, but I need more wide receivers. And I need more offensive linemen. And then we'll be able to get a true evaluation. Get out of here. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want that. I want the opportunity to take the best quarterback that potentially can be a top five QB in the NFL. I'm a gambling man. And I don't find anything wrong with taking that gamble and hoping, especially when the Bears are trending in the right direction, especially the team that whoever that rookie QB is going to be handling, if that ends up happening, is going to be significantly better than the Bears squad that Justin Fields walked into. Oh, let's not forget, there's still more draft capital coming in. There's still a free agency period that the Bears are going to be able to capitalize on. Like, the Bears are in a good position. And I know somebody called in and said they don't trust polls, but if you do trust polls and whoever else is there, the assumption is you're going to trust them to pick the best quarterback possible. That's why I've asked, I wonder what Ryan Pohl, how they had the quarterbacks ranked, right? Like, did they have C.J. Stroud as the best quarterback in that class? Did they have Bryce Young there? I'm curious. Because if they had C.J. Stroud, and then they said to themselves, damn, C.J. Stroud did end up being pretty good. They're like, damn, we got the number one pick again. Do we want to pass up the opportunity to take someone that can be that good? That's where I'm at with that. Let's go to Collier out in Dalton. Collier, what are your thoughts on Justin Fields? What do you think the Bears should do?
Happy holiday.
Hey, likewise.
Okay, I got all the confidence in polls to do the right thing. Now, the NFL has a surplus of ball players. Justin time is coming to an end with the Bears. They're going to have to take a quarterback. I'm not mad. I love Justin. Don't get me wrong. But his time is bad, just like other ball players. Moody's time is gone. We're going to be all right. These guys are so critical of this guy for his tenure here. We had previous GMs and coaches, and they gave them a chance. Get these guys a chance. Now, Jesse, I don't know. That guy ain't killing me.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be all right. With all the draft capital and everything we got going on, we're going to be all right.
Yeah,
we get this one draft pick for quarterback, we're going to be all right.
I mean, the fact of the matter is the Bears are going to be better next year. Like, this we know, regardless of who's the quarterback of Chicago Bears, whether it's Justin Fields and the Bears are adding talent via the draft or free agency, or if it's, you know, any of the rookie quarterbacks that are coming in, excuse me, I still think the Bears will be better next year than they are this year. The defense is going to be better. They're going to add more weapons. The coaching will be more experienced. They'll have a new offensive coordinator, at least we hope. So I think in those situations, you can look to the Bears. And again, that's why I said it, whether you're for Justin or against Justin, both parties still want the same thing, and that is for the Bears to be relevant in the Super Bowl conversation and sitting atop, you know, or amongst the contenders in the NFC North. The Bears want to be the Cowboys and the Niners and the Eagles. They want to be a part of that conversation. You want to leapfrog the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions of the last 2 years and not be the flash in the pan team. You want a team that has longevity, consistency, winning culture, right? And I do think that Poles is building the Bears up to be just that. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. We got a ton of things on the show for you today. I got about another hour or so with you guys. And then coming up at 5 o'clock, we got Dustin Rhodes. And then Mully and Hall jump on after that. They got Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Morris coming on at 8. Get a chance to hear from the Bears wide receiver with Mully and Hall. And then Brad Biggs jumps on at 9. Bernstein and Holmes, they got Anthony Heron at 11. And then Dan Weederer from the Take the North podcast. He'll be on at 12 o'clock. Parkinson Spiegel, they got 3 great guests for you as well. Kurt Warner jumping on at 2:40. Mark Grody, one of the best, jumping on at 4. And then Jalen Johnson, after another weekend with a dropped interception, he's going to hang out with the guys and talk to them as well. But coming up next, more of your phone calls. Really interested in those of you that still want to keep Fields, not only after yesterday's performance, but just, you know, after this season. Where are you at? And explain to me why, because I'm genuinely curious. Maybe my mind could be changed. 312-644-6767. We'll take your phone calls after this. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.